Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a wonderful week so far. Podcast time. Kalina Zanders. She is on some of the biggest house records out at this moment in time. Has an unbelievable voice. I love her voice. It's great. And she's in the process of starting a solo project. She's released a couple of records already. And she's just concentrating on not being a feature artist and being Kalina Zanders, which I'm really excited about. So I wanted to get her on the podcast and talk about it. It's a really, really good conversation. Without further ado, Kalina Zanders. Kalina, how are you?
I'm wonderful, honestly. I'm doing really good.
Good. What are you up
this week?
Yeah, where are you in the world?
I am in Los Angeles, California.
I've heard hell has broke loose in LA right now.
Yeah, everyone is. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. The rain has been intense, but honestly, it made us kind of like get used to it and like not panic a bit because it's been going on for so long. So
come on, let's be honest. Nobody in LA will ever get used to rain.
Okay, fair. That's because no one has any jackets and we're just never prepared. Honestly.
I got a call from my manager or a text from my manager the other day, and he was like, dude, my swimming pool, I now have another swimming pool in my back garden. And I was like, Jesus, you California. Are you from California? Are you from LA?
Yeah, I'm from San Jose, California.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're not used to the rain at all. You had snow, didn't you?
No. Yeah, there was snow like on the outskirts, like I think San Bernardino and like maybe even Pasadena, but not exactly where I live. So I missed that part. Although I do love snow, and it's pretty rare for a black girl to really love snow. like for real. Like,
I don't know. It depends where you're from, right? Come to Detroit.
Oh, fair. Fair. Okay, well, I'm a California black girl, okay?
Yeah, I can't say us in Detroit, but when I'm in my place in Detroit, we get a lot of snow, and I wouldn't say people like it. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love being cold.
Yeah, me too, honestly.
I'd way rather be in cold weather than hot weather, personally.
Same.
Whoa, this light is super bright. So I really struggle in heat. I'm like really, I do not function well.
Yeah, exact same. I hate it. I dread the summer. I still try to wear like long pants, and you know what I mean? Like I don't know. There's something about it. I don't like heating up.
Yeah.
I also run pretty hot too. So
I was about to say the same.
Yeah.
I wear this thing called a whoop strap. It's like kind of like a heart rate monitor. And it measures your skin temperature, And like every day, it's like you're 1.5 degrees higher than what you should be. And it's just like, it's just how I run generally. It's really annoying.
Interesting. What's it called again?
Whoop strap, W-H-O-O-P.
Whoop strap.
Yes. It's like, I don't know if you have like an Apple Watch or anything like that.
No.
But like, it's for like fitness. So it's like way better than an Apple Watch. It's way better than like a Fitbit or anything like that. Cause it's not a watch. It's just like a strap. And it just literally, it tracks a lot of sleep. That's what I kind of mainly do it for, sleep and recovery. And it tells you like when best to train and when you should be resting and things like that. So it's pretty helpful, especially when touring.
Yeah. So like when it tells you you're low on sleep, you just immediately just like pass out. You're just like,
I wish.
gotta sleep.
I wish. it's more like you've slept like shit. Take it easy. But then you know how our lifestyle is. It's like you just can't ever. How do you cope with that? How do you cope with the touring? Are you touring a lot as well? Or
so last summer I got an agent and I started doing lots more traveling and all of that. And I'm still kind of new to it in a lot of ways. So I quite enjoyed the experiences of it. I do see the dread coming on. I really do. But so far I'm like, ooh, this is cool. Like in and out of planes. Yes.
I think it's about learning to enjoy it though, because I think there's so many people in our industry that like really hate the travel and really hate the schedules. And I'll be honest, like sometimes I'm like, I really can't be bothered, but it's more so because I want to like write music instead, or because I want to like spend time with my family or my friends, and like or like I'm like, actually, you know what, I'd really want a weekend here. But then I know if I took a weekend off, I'd be like, motherfuckers, I wish I was out DJing.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, no, I mean, I enjoy getting away. I live in LA, so it's like, you know, I've been living here for a million years, it seems, like really long.
Yeah.
And so to get out of here feels so great, honestly. Yeah, like I want to move, but then like I don't. It's like a weird thing, but I think traveling really helps like me scratch that itch to like leave.
Totally. Where would you leave?
Okay. I know we talked about hot, but it's kind of weird, but I love Arizona.
Interesting.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
I like it cuz there's like nothing there. The people are very simple. And like
did you just like just tell everyone sit that they're simple in Arizona?
Yeah, they're just, it's either like party or you know, it's like I don't know why I don't know why I'm so attracted to that place, but I mean, maybe it's just because there's people there, but there's just different way of life.
It's a very like chill life, isn't it? It's very like,
yeah.
When you say simple, I get that. There's nothing complex about living in Arizona apart from dealing with the heat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't even go out in the summer in LA. So, you know, air conditioning is fine with me.
Yeah.
And the other place, oddly enough, would be the UK, would be London.
Really? You've been here recently, right?
Yeah. I went, last summer and did like a writing camp, for my project, and it was wonderful.
Amazing.
I love being, I don't know what I love about it. I've always loved it. I even dated a girl that was from London too. So just like, I don't know. I was just like, I just love it. I don't know why.
Are you, how would it work for you to move here? Could you visa wise?
I guess I really don't know. I've never gone down the path of trying to figure out how I would live there.
Yeah.
Because ultimately I've resigned to that. I'd probably just, live there maybe like a month or three at a time, you know?
Yeah. 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 Cause I think you can do 90 days.
Yeah. 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 That's ultimately what I want to do, is just make music there. And I don't know. I don't know what I love about London, but maybe it's like a better New York or something. I don't know.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. You know?
I personally prefer New York to London. But I prefer writing in London. If I'm writing music, I feel like the music scene in London is for writing specifically is way better than most places in New York. For the genre of what we're writing. I think if I wanted to go and write a bunch of pop or hip hop, I'd go to LA or Atlanta.
For sure.
How do you find the difference between writing between LA and London? Do you enjoy it?
I prefer UK because it seems, from my perception, it seems that people aren't as ego driven. I mean, I know there's a lot of ego everywhere, but like, it just seems like people from the UK are just like, let's just get it done.
Yeah.
Let's have a good time. Mm. There's lots of like laughs and no one's like overly critiquing you.
Yeah.
So I feel like the creative flow is a lot better. And I feel like I can be like more of my just like natural self. In LA, I will admit that I'm, because there's probably a lot of pop writers. I used to actually do pop writing and like K-pop, but I just feel like everyone's so sceney.
Okay.
You know, and they're like, oh, I wrote for this, I wrote for that, I wrote for that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, dude. Okay, cool. So it's just, I think the layers of, you know, authenticity are like peeled back a bit in the UK. And then here it's, even though I've been here and it's really fun sometimes, it's lovely to be like caught up in the scene, but it's just like also, it's just too
tired.
Yeah. Yeah,
I get that. I think it's just it's just British culture not to talk about, not to brag.
Yeah, okay.
I think.
Okay, yeah.
Which,
yeah,
I guess it is very different. In in the UK, it's like you talk shit about your friends. In America, you talk up about your friends. It was kind of something that I didn't realize until moving to America, where like we would just brutally destroy our friends. And that's our way to show our love to our friends.
I enjoy that.
Yeah, it's fun, right?
That's my shit.
Way more fun. Way more fun.
Yeah.
I want to talk about K-pop. This one slipped through. Yeah. Like, this is a world I do not have a fucking clue about at all. So tell me about it.
K-pop is very fun and kind of easy to write because what happens is like they'll bring in like me, a writer, and then you write out some sort of generic lines and concepts and you do write all the melodies and sing all the parts, but then they end up having like a Korean translator and they will swap out some of the words and turn it into, you know, an actual K-pop song. So it's kind of easy. It's kind of like, well, it's easy to write, but Korean A&Rs are really strict. So, that's ultimately why I don't think it was for me.
Yeah.
Is because they also, some of them couldn't communicate to you exactly what they wanted, but they're just very strict about whatever was happening. And you know, I'm, at the end of the day, I'm an artist and I'm not really like a like workhorse style writer. I don't like to do a million sessions. I'm not like that. So it just wasn't for my creative process.
So is it more like A&R driven where they're telling you what they need rather than artist driven?
Yes, very much so. Okay. Like, because, and I understand it. It's because, you know, it's almost like a corporate business. You know, it's like all the artists are, from what I've heard, some of the artists are like on salary and they're not really like getting the proper royalties. And so they're kind of like, it's like their job.
Wow.
So I think that, they just look at more from like a corporate standpoint. I mean, everything is business, but they just happen to be very like,
that sounds very,
it's intense.
Yeah. That sounds very boring.
Yeah. Yeah. But some people like it. I have a friend over there right now who's crushing it. Like went to Korea and like, it suits him. He doesn't mind the pressure. He doesn't mind the people telling him what to do, like, but if you can really get into it, you can make a lot of money.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing, isn't it? Is whether or not are you doing music to make money, or are you doing music to kind of show your artistry?
Yeah, and I guess ultimately I'm trying to be an artist.
Yeah, and I think that's the difference, isn't it? Is that hopefully the art that you create eventually turns into something financially viable. But yeah, at the end of the day, I feel like, I don't know about you, but like when you start doing stuff just for money, it kind of just isn't fun. And there's yeah, not the challenge in it.
You know, I've always wished that I could be motivated by money. Mm. I've never, ever been. And yeah, sometimes I feel like, and also I do believe that I'm a talented person. And I yeah, think that, you know, I probably could have been, yeah, financially in a different place, you know, whatever, if I just kind of follow that path. But yeah, I don't know. It sucks my soul. And I'm what's it called? I was going to say obedient, but I was not, obedience, not the word. I'm an artist. Like yeah, I'm bold, and you know, I want to think outside the box, and like, I don't know if I could follow the traditions of certain like things in order to make the money in music, you know?
Yeah, no, I respect that. I think it's a tough industry because we're constantly having that battle where, like, especially for you and I, where we're full-time in music, it's kind of hard, especially at the beginning of your career when you're like, oh, I need to make rent, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to pay for this and that, but also I still need to make sure that the music is exactly where it needs to be. And I've made decisions over my career where I regret massively because I thought it would have been a successful record and it was just cheesy shit. How have you kind of balanced that being, because I think it's different also for in the situation where you're at with like singer songwriter. I know you're just getting into DJing over the last like six to eight months, but how is that as a singer songwriter? Because I know it takes a long time to get paid. It takes the record has to do well for you to get paid well. And like I would quite happily say that you're one of the biggest names in house music. Your voice is one of the biggest names in house music at this moment in time in modern day. But I think I'd like to know the pros and cons of all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny. So I didn't get into dance music until 2015. And that was, it literally was kind of on a whim. Like yeah, I did the track with Sunburn, and then Chris Lake remixed it, and then it became super big. And so my initial like introduction was a little bit like, I didn't know anything, first of all. And I also didn't know anybody. So I wasn't like, I was just like, okay, cool. Like it's all these DJs are hitting me up. Dope, cool, whatever. You know what I mean? So I kind of went into it just not kissing anyone's ass, you know? Yeah. But then I started to really like it. And I realized, you know, I was like, okay, I can keep doing this. Cause it did become somewhat of a viable career, at least just fun at first, just fun.
Yeah.
And then I started to realize how much, you know, vocalists were taken advantage of and not paid and not credited. And like all these things just like really started to wear on me a lot. And then seeing people like blow up off of like tracks that I've done with them and still not sorting out the back end properly. Like a lot of things started to really kind of wear on my psyche. And I still don't know what the remedy is for bringing that to the forefront or to making things more fair entirely. But I did make the switch to DJing because I was like, I'm tired of not smiling in front of people. And, you know, I'm tired of like seeing all these DJs just be like, yeah. And I'm like, why can I be like that too? Yeah. You know, I want to join in on the success and fun that everyone is having off of in the community. And so, and it's a super touchy subject for any like top liner, any vocalist, anyone who does this, like I do, like it really, I don't know. It could be disheartening, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk about it. Cause it's something that I talk about often with top liners when I'm in sessions with, and also like I'm a writer outside of what I do. And there's like been multiple situations where like songs have been blocked or records, you've done a lot of work on the record, and then they try and cut you out of the writing. And it's there's just like multiple, it's just a messy industry behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's ego. Well,
yes.
But I think is. Like, what's your take on it?
How I've learned to protect myself, I will say, is that I just stopped doing things without knowing the person.
Yeah.
Without knowing, like, or I stopped doing things where people aren't treating me as an actual human or an artist.
Yeah.
Because I realized that was a part of it. It's like people, they'll come up to you and like, I need vocal. It's like, who are you?
Yeah.
Like I need, but they're not seeing me and seeing like that this is my passion, you know? Totally. So I've eliminated a lot of that, and that's been very helpful. I definitely like to, be in the studio with people when creating records. I don't send out top lines, this is just how I've been able to protect myself and my peace. Mm. And I love the production of music. Like I will sit there with you and produce it with you. And like, I don't necessarily touch the DAWs and stuff, but I love music. So I have a huge musical background. I went to music school and I play guitar and all these different things. So it's like, I'm love music, and I still like to bring that process to dance music, even though it could just be, you know, four on the floor, very simple. I still love that bringing the sort of collaboration, because like people will hit up and be like, oh, like let's collab, send me a vocal. I was like, that's not a collaboration in my opinion. You know, like collaborating is you listening to my ideas, I'm listening to yours, and we're like making something that we really enjoy together.
I totally agree with that. I really struggle with the whole, I actually don't ever do the whole working on it with a top line, unless it's a sample, unless it's like a sample that I found, and then I'm like, okay, I use a sample. But when I'm working with a writer or a top line, I do not want that to be done over Zoom or not even in the same room.
Yes. Yeah. And that's so funny that you bring up a sample. Like oftentimes it happens even today a lot. People will hit me up, be like, yo, can you get on this and re-sing this thing? And I'm like, no, I was like, I don't want to. Cause number one, like it's not going to pay me anything.
Yeah.
Number two, I would rather just create something that is, unique and cool.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I won't re-sing things, cause I have a lot of covers that, but those have been really like big ones, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like I knew that was a good choice for me at the time. But I always like, I redirect people to Splice. I just said, I don't know. You can go to better. I think there's like a site called Sound Better. I was like, you can hit up those people and they'll re-sing it for you. But like, I'm sorry. I just don't work that way. I'm an actual artist who I love connection with people. Mm. You know, I'm a lot better at communicating than I was before, but I would be pretty like, just like, okay, bye. Because like, it gets frustrating when people like only see you as basically a splice, you know, package, totally. But you're a human, you know? So
I think it's also people don't necessarily realize that's how it feels when you're getting contacted. Like, and I think that's the thing I get it all the time with people. Like, it's like, put me on the guest list or here's a new record, go listen to it. It's like, dude, like, come on, like at least start the conversation a bit nicer. Like just be like, hey, look, I love your music. Just like shine me up a little bit.
Yes, just a little, at least.
It's just not hard. Yeah. But I think I get that as well for other people. Is everybody wants to win in this industry. And I think it's very easy to just be like blind, put your blinkers on and just be like, I need to do what I need to do to get to where I want to get to.
Very true. And I was going to say something too about, in addition to that, I can't remember what I was going to say. Well, I don't know. But yeah, no, I try my best to have people see me, basically. Yeah. Like, and if it's someone that I do respect, because oftentimes there'll be big DJs that hit me up too, kind of on a sideways in a weird ways. And I'll just be like, hey, I know you, you know me. Let's get on a phone call at least. Yeah, yeah. Let's see each other and just like kind of slow down the process, you know, and like make it less transactional.
I agree.
Even then,
even then
I still have a hard time because if I haven't seen you on the scene and like we're not like hanging out and we're not friends and I don't have a rapport with you, it's really hard for me to open up.
Yeah. I think it's also like really nice to just spend time with people. Like some of the best records I've written, like the fifth session I've done with a singer, a top liner, a writer, because it's like it takes ages to get to know somebody. And I like starting a session early and like the first hour and a half just like chilling and chatting and like go for a walk or just listen to music together and just see like where you both connect and see like outside of the lines of what you're actually gonna be writing. Like what else do you guys listen to, what else do you love, and see where else you can kind of like, it's almost like dating.
Yes it is, very much so. And I love that you said that, like you take time to listen to somebody and like listen to music with them, because you are building up a creative relationship. And it's like, how am I supposed to open up to you and just kind of get something that you really like in 3 hours?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I still don't think, as much as people, there's like, you know, people have their publishers and they're putting all these sessions day after day after day. I still don't think quality stuff comes out of that. It's because they don't have like those relationships, you know?
Yeah. It's so, like camps for me. I've personally never done one. Because they like, if I've been asked to do a couple of like go on this camp and go on that camp, and I'm like, no,
yeah,
like I'm not giving all of my energy for 4 days unless it's a camp for me camp for me, and I've like picked everybody I want to do, which I haven't done, and I'd like to do that, but I'd like to do like a Will Clark camp where it's like, okay, I want this person, and we do all 5 days together, and like there's two studios, and kind of, that would be a perfect. But it's like going in and doing a camp that could, like, pretty much everything's just gonna get pitched, and I'm like, I'd rather just not.
It does waste a lot of time. I mean, I did one last summer for me, which is, like you said, that's wonderful. I got to pick everybody, whatever. And then I did one in Amsterdam and that one, I found people that I like, but ultimately it was stressful because like it's speed dating. Like you said, like every day you're with somebody new. And then if you didn't gel, then you feel like shit about yourself. You're like, am I a good creator? Like, you know, it's like you go through this like process. So yeah, I'm the same. I'm a traditional musician, you know,
Yeah. I like to have, do you like to have like set times for studio? Like are you very much like just go with the flow and see where it goes?
I typically like to start at like 12, like midday, you know, and that's the reason why at 12, because I like to sit with somebody, eat, you know, get some food, and then get into it. Or lately I've been starting sessions at like 2 or 3, and that's been nice. Because then it kind of, you get sort of some of the night energy as well.
I haven't ever done that. I'm more of a wake up really early and start really early and just go until like I usually start 10 to 11 is my like latest I'll go to go.
Really?
Just purely because it's probably something that I need to work on. But it's kind of like a control thing where when I start later than 11, I'm like, well, half the day is gone. And I'm very I'm very like routined, and I'm coming to do sessions in LA and at the end of March. I know this is coming out in April. And I know that it's going to be like a 1 o'clock start, and I'm going to be like, what the fuck do I do in the morning? I can go to the gym and like, just cause I'm really routined in that, that sense. But I think I like the idea of doing night sessions.
Yeah. Some like really awesome creative stuff comes out like in the morning. The reason why I like have the morning is, I'm sorry, I have the morning for myself is what I'm trying to say. Like I wake up at like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And then that's my time to like write. And then like, you know, I'll get some like green juice, you know, just typical LA shit. Like fucking literally the most LA possible. I hate LA. I'm so LA, you know, like, and yeah, get green juice, go for a walk, like, you know, take in the morning energy because I love when it's quiet. Mm. And then I do all my administrative stuff in the morning. Nice. And then that's, and like try to get all my anxiety out because I, you know, like that just fresh morning stuff. And then, and then I just go into my sessions like later. Mm. It feels good.
Yeah.
And then you feel like you've gotten all your stuff done. I mean, at least on that end, I don't know, unless you do your administrative stuff at night. Is that what you do?
No, I have a day to do admin stuff. Oh, so okay. I do Mondays. Like Mondays are email. Monday. I update on my playlist. I generally upload a bunch of podcasts on a Monday as well, kind of get them all lined up. And then I have like meetings on Monday evening sometimes as well. Just catch up with Ryan, my manager, and just go through all of that. And then Tuesdays is write time. And then like, it's really bad, but I don't really look at my emails for like a couple of days after that. I'm just, I used to be like really on it. And I used to just be like, check emails all the time. But I go through phases now where I'm like, if it's really important, somebody's going to call me. And
wow.
Because I think there comes a point for me anyway where I'm just doing too much. And it gets to a point where I'm like, do I really need to be spending more time on my phone or in front of the computer doing stuff that realistically can be done on a phone call in 10 minutes with my manager? Because my manager's going to be CC'd on everything anyway. So like, I can be like, do this, do that, sweet, on to the next.
Okay, that's actually really eye-opening because lately I've been struggling creatively because of all the distractions. Yeah. Like, and I've like, you know, as a writer, like you need every inspiration.
Totally.
You know, you need your environment. You need like, you need anything. Like, and then people constantly interrupting. It's just like, it's psychotic. You start to feel psychotic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And so maybe I'm going to set that up with my manager and just be like, yo, like these days I'm going to do. So Monday usually is the full day where I do all administrative stuff, but then I still do check on things partly because I think I'm paranoid. So I'm just like, let me see what's going on. Let me see what's going on. Did he do that thing?
Exactly. Like, yeah.
so maybe, cause I do need some peace. Like I've been needing that so badly. Maybe I will like maybe take 2 days and tell my manager, yo, like these 2 days I'm going to spend completely immersed in my art, you know?
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, so it's, I think you can experiment and work what works for you. Like I'm still very on something stuff. So like, let's say for instance, when I'm in the UK, it's a bit crazy because I work all day in the studio and then I have meetings or podcasts at night. So it's like kind of stacks up the day where like, so you're kind of working 2 days in one because LA wakes up at like, Ryan wakes up around 3:30 my time. And then he'll start messaging me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm always talk to him. I talk to him all day long, pretty much.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like the go-between everything else. And obviously we've also got teams like Sarah and Parker as well. But for me, I'd rather have a conversation with somebody about what's going on and it be even an hour long phone call than an hour long going through emails, because it just doesn't do it for me anymore. I used to be really control freak about it. And I think recently I've just been like, you know what? Like, you're going to know if something happens.
That's great. Know. Yeah.
It has really helped. But I think just having more time to be by yourself, like say for instance today, I woke up, I went to the gym, did what I needed to do, did a remix, and then I wanted to do another version of the remix because I just wanted to do, but I just couldn't get my head into it. Just couldn't get it in and get it sorted. So I went out, went for a walk around the village and tried to come back, couldn't do it. And like, it was just killing me. But, and that's when I just stepped away because I just realized that I've just been on the go 24/7 and I can't be that creative when I've just been on the go 24/7. But yeah, like,
for sure.
I think taking time out, I was in India not so long ago. And for like two of the days, I did like a no phone day, which was wild, like wild. And
oh my God,
like no phone day is a bit of a lie because I still looked at my phone when I woke up and looked at my phone when I went to bed. But when I left the hotel room, I had no phone.
Okay, how was that? Because I want to do a 7-day retreat, to be honest. I want to do a 7-day no phone, no talking. Yeah. I want to do that.
So
how was it?
Game changer. It was so nice. And what it made me realize is that, like, I'm very, like, I'm not in a relationship. I'm very single. I talk to a lot of friends all the time. Like, I constantly have motivation in my brain, constantly.
Yeah.
And I was away with Ryan, my manager. My dad came out to India with me and one of my good mates came to India with me. So like, there's three people. We're always together pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't need any external like stimulation from other people. I just need the three people around me and what else is going on and around. And like, if I needed to take pictures of food or something like that, I can use their phone. Like, it was just like, it made me realize that I just don't need my phone. Like, I really don't. Like, obviously, apart from the business side of things, like at social media and shit like that, I don't need it. And I think it's just like, it was just kind of freeing where I'd like to implement that more into my like normal schedule. Just not too sure when I would do it, but I would like to.
Well, maybe like on a, like Sundays, like, cause Sunday's my day to like, where I don't do anything, you know, music related. And I don't do any business calls, anything, nothing, unless I'm like at a festival, that's different.
Yeah.
That also makes me think about like, how do you like set boundaries with people too? Cause lately I've had to set more boundaries and sometimes I think it's been, a little bit uncomfortable, you know, just cause like some people, I don't know if you find like people constantly taking your energy, you know, and now that, you know, you have social media, you have all these things. And then just people are just like, they're like, how can I get, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And like, do you have to set boundaries? Is it hard for you to, you know, like, you know, that's kind of like what I want to know. Cause lately I've been going through a lot of that.
It might be different being a female. I really don't know, but this is just my observation. It might be different, but for me, I kind of don't give a fuck. And I just put my phone on do not disturb and be like, okay. Like, and the thing is like, who am I really talking to like on a regular basis? My really close friends. And they know that I'm not ignoring them. And I think that's just the level of trust that, like, if I message my friend and they're not responding, I know they're busy. And I'm not like that kind of person, like, why are you ignoring me? It's like they're just clearly busy. And if there's summing up, I'll know within a day, if you know what I mean. So it's not like the end of the world. And if someone needs to get in touch with me, they will get in touch with me. If you know what I mean, there's always ways, right?
Interesting.
But it's also my view is also like, so with the setting boundaries, like I've had people message me and be like, yo, I'm taking a day out, if you know what I mean. And that doesn't bother me, but I can understand why that does bother some people and they kind of could take it personally, but that's their own shit.
Yeah.
That's not you.
Yeah. I recently had to do that like with someone and, because I felt like the person was like emotionally like dumping on me and I'm very empathetic, very sensitive and aware and encompassing. So and but almost to a fault at times. Mm. So when people like emotionally dump on me, like I'm just like
a sponge
drained.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, whoa. And it's also, I'm a pretty good listener too. So yeah. Like, I think people pick up on that mm-hmm. and they're like, just cause she's not talking, I guess they're like, I think could just go yeah. and, you know, say whatever. But, it's sometimes those situations I have to be like, I'm like, hey, like, honestly, like I'm going through my own thing and like, no offense, but like, maybe we can talk about it at this time. And then like later on, it was a situation, you know what I mean? I'm like, I've got a hurt leg that I've got an injury. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, it's just like things. And I think I sometimes feel hard, like sensitive about setting boundaries, even though I do, cause I have to for my own sanity. But totally. Like, I always go, oh, I hope that didn't come off right. Oh, the person, you know, like,
I guess my question to you on that would be mm-hmm. how much power are you giving that person in your life, like to affect yourself like that, to think that, like, if that if you think that person is gonna respond badly, is that even somebody that you want in your life?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I guess not, no, because I want people that understand me. I want people that respect those spaces. Yeah.
Cause I've got a friend that are similar to that, where they know that I'm going to listen, if you know what I mean. And maybe I'm their only friend that does listen, if that makes sense, or that somebody mm-hmm. that they feel comfortable. But I think also there comes a point, sometimes it is like, Jesus Christ, not again. But I guess it sounds awful, but I just ignore it.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, unless it's like really needs to be dealt with, like tomorrow can be, tomorrow can wait. It is like, I'd much rather like wake up the next morning and be like, okay, I can deal with it now. I feel good. Mm-hmm. But like,
maybe I need to learn how to be more, not selfish, but like more, just like not care so much, you know?
Yeah. I think I don't know. Yeah, I agree. I think for me it's more so about how, if somebody's trying to load something on me or dump something on me or talk to me about something and I'm not in the right mood to do that, to deal with it, how am I going to respond to them? And I know that my things is I'm just going to try and fix the situation. And by me trying to fix the situation is not what they need. They need somebody mm-hmm. to listen and to be understanding. And by fixing the situation is a really quick fix for me, but it doesn't leave other people feeling great and feeling positive about themselves. So it's like, you know what, we'll just shut the fuck up and deal with it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And generally by tomorrow, they're feeling better anyway.
Fair. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Lessons.
But
from Will Clark.
Do you find when you write, like, what frame of mind do you need to be in when you write?
Um, Well, emotionally, I can feel however, because that's what I'm going to be writing about. Mm. I typically like to be well, it depends. If I'm co-writing with people in a room, my inner child is really nervous. Mm. So like I definitely will look around the room and see, you know, who might have a little bit more energy or who's a little bit more of an editor or whatever. And I try to adjust my inner child and try to say it's okay to, you know, still expose yourself or whatever, yeah, you know, be vulnerable. So I really, my most favorite times to create really is just like outside, like literally I love nature so much. Like I think of a lot of ideas when I'm in action, writing and driving. Those are the places that, you know, I think words actually and ideas come to mind. But yeah, but like collabing, that's why I generally like to have friends that I work with on a consistent basis, because I know how tender I feel inside. Mm. And then if there's somebody too overbearing in the room or whatever, like I shut off. So
yeah,
it's just, and it's just something I have had to deal with. And I think it's partly because of, you know, my upbringing. It was a little bit, you know, I had an overbearing mom. So like my inner child's like, ooh. So if there's someone else like that, then I'm like, ah.
What's your defense mechanism? Is it just to shut down?
Two things. The other one I don't practice anymore because, man, this is wild to talk about. So now it's a little bit of a shutdown and process. Mm. Before it used to be like anger and like lashing out because I don't want, it's protection.
Yeah,
so. Totally. And that though was almost the kind of like lashing out where I would black out, you know what I mean? Because I would feel, you're hurt. It's literally hurt. Totally. So, but that was, that used to be my other one. And that one's, I no longer tap into that.
It's amazing.
That it was just,
It's amazing how a studio session can relate to childhood, right?
Yes. All the time.
Just like having people around you can remind you of certain things and certain experiences. And because for me is like, I can only write music when I'm in a good mood. Like I can, but I'm never going to write anything good ever.
Mm.
If I'm like in a weird mood or like, I don't know why. Don't know why that is.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think it started earlier. Like used to write down my feelings all the time when I was young.
Yeah.
No matter what they were. And I used to write about things I observed. And like, I was in like a poetry like contest when I was little, you know what I mean? Like I liked to write about experiences. But then, I mean, as I've gotten older, I've gotten a little bit less like that. So I really would like to get more into that space of like, just documenting everything in my brain, no matter what feeling, you know? I don't even like feeling happy all the time, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I think it's so unnatural to feel happy all the time.
Yeah.
Really unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
I think if it's that saying, isn't it? Is without the lows, you don't get the highs, and without the highs, you don't get the lows. It's just, you can't just be, unless you're just one level, but that just sounds awful, if I'm honest. I get really bad headaches. And, since I was like 17, I've always had really bad headaches, and the doctor prescribed me some like antidepressants, which was like at one point, at a certain milligram of a certain antidepressant is like almost a painkiller. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever taken antidepressants before, but I was started taking these and I was like 2 months in, and I'd just wake up and I'd just be this like zero emotion.
Mm.
And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I still have my headaches, but I was just like zero, like nothing would make me sad and nothing would make me happy. And I was like, this is so weird. And obviously it affects everybody differently. And some people it helps, some people it doesn't. But I was like, I couldn't be on these medication because it's just like, I need to feel, I think it's the whole point of life. And I've always grown up with feelings and talking about my feelings. And I think it's just super important.
Why did he prescribe you antidepressants for headaches.
There's like a, so it's called citalopram in the UK. I don't know what it would be called in America, but it's, there's a small milligram of it that if it's not taken, if it's taken to a certain milligram level, it is actually a painkiller and it's supposed to help. Yeah. So
yeah.
Super strange. Yeah. Didn't work, but fuck it. Yeah, I think that's also, it's also really interesting, the highs and the lows of being an artist.
Yeah.
How do you cope with them?
Well, gosh. So I've been recently taking therapy.
Cool.
And a lot of it is couples therapy because I've been in a relationship for 12 years.
Damn.
But
congrats.
I know. Thank you. Thank you.
You get less for murder.
It's been actually a pretty pleasant journey for the most part, I will say. But the couples therapy, even though you think you're there to work on yourselves together, you're really also doing a lot of individual work.
Of course, yeah.
So it's weird because, I mean, I feel like in the last like 8 months, this has really helped me kind of be more, it's helped me be more clear. It's helped me understand why I act certain ways. It's helped me understand the low parts, you know, like, because I used to, when I would get depressed, I used to just like, I was one of those people who didn't do anything. I would like lay down and just like remove myself from anything. And that always to people looked like that I was what's the word, ignoring them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it really, it was just kind of like me just depressed in bed. So like that part of me, obviously I'm doing so much now, so I'm not like that. But I think having these like therapeutic tools, like I've been able to like ride the waves better.
Yeah.
You know, like I had a really, like even last week I was like, I went through a really dark time where normally I wouldn't be able to help navigate out of it, you know? And you know, like it's natural. I don't know. We just naturally can go to really dark spaces for a couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, and I did. And then I was able to like, I dressed up, you know, I got my nails done. Like I did things that really like got me out of it. And then eventually I had a breakthrough.
Did it help?
Through that. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I like, I pretended like I was a completely different person and it like, it brought me out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing what things like that can do. For me, it's exercise. If I'm like feeling, if I'm feeling like a miserable motherfucker, I just go and kill myself at the gym and sorted. Absolutely sorted.
Yeah.
I also think like, I don't know about you, like for me though, the highs and the lows of the, I'm saying business, of the music industry business, like for me, especially, I think since like the beginning of 2019, I've like really, and I think COVID really helped with me massively on that. Whereas like the lows are nowhere near as bad as they used to be. And the highs are just kind of normal, if that makes sense. And it's like, okay, cool. Let's just on to the next. Or, okay, something bad happened. It will change tomorrow, or it doesn't really matter. When I was younger and kind of first starting out in the industry, everything was fucking low, like low, and then really fucking high. I'm glad they're not like that anymore, personally.
Yeah. I would say, to your point to that, I stopped letting it affect me so deeply because I actually went through a nervous breakdown in 2021, like in the winter or fall winter, about because of the music industry, like, and just watching things happen and things happening to me. And I think I just had this point where like almost like a psychotic break. I remember I was in the woods. It was my birthday and I just like something hit and I was like, and then I was like, okay, I like can't allow these things to really affect my psyche and like how I'm like feeling about music, you know, because music is ultimately what I'm here to do. I know that. And it's like, I don't know. I turn the tables and I'm just like, these things are always going to happen. Like I'm not, and I told myself, I'm like, I'm not going to get anywhere if I keep letting these things affect that, yeah. You know, because what's going to happen is I'm going to lash out. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to like say all these things that could be communicated better. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then people are like, oh, she's mean. She's this. I'm like, well, yeah, but you did this to me, you know, yeah. But it's like, people don't even see that they're doing that. They're just like you just said, they're in their own thing. They're just trying to get what they want to get. And then they're not considering your emotional. They're not considering anything. So it's just like, you just have to like, you know, step away from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's about looking at how you can respond to the situation. So my parents are therapists, and growing up, when I grew up, like they own a drug and alcohol rehab. I used to work in the rehab before them, like years ago and things like that. I've been around therapy my whole life. And when something that still gets me on a regular basis is when somebody says, "You make me feel." And people, it's a really difficult thing, because my response to that is like, I can't make you feel anything. It's your choice to make you, it's your choice how you feel. Okay. So, and there's an argument for and against that, that's not right. Mm-hmm. Right. But I guess the sentiment of that is that you could say something to me that could really offend me. However, it's my choice what I do with that. Mm-hmm. And it's my choice on how I respond to that, or how I actually allow myself to feel. Because we can all choose how we to feel about certain things, right?
I think, but sometimes we have like triggers though that come up before we can think.
Totally. But then is that about us dealing with the triggers beforehand and working on that on a deeper level in therapy or in by ourselves, or processing it ourselves, so that in future those triggers don't come up when some, because I could say something to you that could bring up a trigger from your childhood that I have zero fucking idea what that would bring your trigger, that would trigger you, whatever that word is, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
That wouldn't be technically my fault, because I don't know your history. I don't know anything about you, but that's your, so that's your thing to deal with yourself, to then be able to process how to deal with other people when it comes up, right?
True. I think for the most part, you're right. I think, you know, a lot of scenarios are like weird, or because, you know, you have to cater to someone else's, like, you know, what they've been traumatized by.
Yeah.
I also do think that there is some sort of, on your, on, let's say it, you know, you say you were the one person, you were the person who triggered that person, but you didn't know, there is a way also for you to respond, and it could be empathetic.
Yeah, totally.
In a way that doesn't cause more friction, but, and still you being, you know, have integrity with what you are. And you know what I mean? I still think there's like a, because our, like, I think in a perfect world, we would be able to like, well, thank you, that triggered me, blah, blah, blah. But like, we aren't that way. Whoa, I didn't know that. Oh, shoot, you didn't know that? But none of us respond in intellectual, not none of us. I mean, a lot of us respond with our childhood traumas, you know? So I think that that's still something we have to all be aware of. And also put our foot down when we need to, you know?
Well, I also think, I totally agree with you, but I also think we have tools in this world that fuck us, and that's being Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Whereas like I've got friends, like close friends, that say some awful shit on Twitter that are just trying to rile people up, or just trying to like get a response. And I'm like, why? Mm. Why are you like, you're putting yourself under scrutiny for no reason. And like, how do you deal with that?
Deal with like friends with Twitter or
just yourself on Twitter? Yourself on Twitter, yourself on social media.
I actually don't say that much. Yeah. Like I never say anything that I say things that I'm feeling, but they're very lighthearted.
Yeah.
And they usually are a little like comical spin to them. I never really give. There's only one time that I think had a really big impact on who, I'm not sure, but it got a lot of like and retweets. But that one to me was the most I think I shared deeply with what I felt. And it was literally like, I don't think that white DJs should play music with the N-word in it. And yeah. I had a lot of people, if they are, they definitely shouldn't be mouthing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mouthing the N-word. So that was something that I tweeted, and then everyone from all across Twitter was like, "What?" And then it was like, "Whoa, okay, wait, what's the problem here?" You know.
Yeah.
But that's probably the most like honest I've ever even been on Twitter. Usually it's like stupid. Like I tweeted, I was like, "Pink and black are cool, but not in the Hot Topic way." Like it's just stupid. I don't know. Like I'm just so dumb. Like I really don't. I think I also think Twitter and all of that stuff is stupid. Yeah. Social media is stupid as well. So, and it's funny that people really define themselves by these things. So
Some people's careers are built off it, or most people's careers are built off it.
I know. Like I wish sometimes I could be as witty and whatever is like John Summit or like, you know, off the cuff. And I'm just thinking of people who I see their tweets all the time, like, you know, John Summit and Lucati or whatever. Like they're always just like spitting out like little silly stuff. And I mean, I just don't care to do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of work and my brain doesn't naturally go to that. So, and then I'm not going to sit up there and just like start complaining about like life up there either. Like that's not the vibe I want to give out.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
Not at all. Yeah, totally.
Like, I'm like, oh my God, like, I don't know, like, my life is awesome. Like, guys, like, what am I going to say? Like, I don't know. It's all just quite silly and entertaining. I think it's entertaining.
It can be massively. I went through a Twitter stage during the pandemic.
Okay.
And hated it. Absolutely hated it. Unfollowed so many people and just was like, I'm off Twitter. I'm done. And in the last like few months, I've been back on it and loving it because I'm just like, just looking at it in a different... I follow people that I actually want to follow. So like every time I see something, it makes me laugh rather than every time I see something, it's like, wow, this is depressing.
Yeah.
Or people moaning and stuff like that. It's definitely, you just got to curate your own feed. And I think life is easier.
Yeah. Like you said, it is like curating. It's like playing music, you know, you just like, what do you want people to perceive of you? Cause people really do judge you off 100%. Of your Instagrams, and they judge you off of your tweets, and they think that's your mind. Yeah. And like, it's like, dude, this is just like a random sentence that I've just, you know what I mean? So
they take it so literal. Like me and Vanessa hate each other on Twitter. Like,
oh yeah, I've seen you guys.
We actually hate each other on Twitter, but like people don't realize that we're like actually really close friends. Like no one like the general public think we fucking despise each other.
Oh no,
it's hilarious.
I can tell it's funny.
Yeah, but you know us, so it's like but generally people are like, why do you hate Vanessa so much? And I go along with it. I'm like, because she's a dickhead.
That's good though.
So you're starting I guess a solo, what artist project?
Yeah,
but I don't want to call it an artist project because it's you, so it's like, well, what is it?
Yeah, it's me, right? Yeah. It's just all me. Well, I guess I'm just taking more of the driver's seat in my own career and really showcasing myself as an artist where people can just see me as that and not like a side piece in a way. I recently got...
Is that how it feels? Is that how it feels?
Yeah, it does feel that way.
That sucks.
Especially if you're just... Yeah, it feels... It feels weird. You don't feel like a part of it a part of the experience sometimes if you're just a feature vocalist or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is, again, why I only do music with my friends who are down to put, you know, lift me up and create visibility for me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I really, like, if I'm not in your photos and we're not, like, vibing, then I just kind of, like I said, I won't do those. I no longer put myself in those spaces that hurt me, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, no, so I got signed to Helix, and I'm definitely just, like, pushing my artist project and getting all of the music done and putting it out as me, Kalina Zanders. Mm. And it's been a really, it's actually been a tough experience because you realize how much work it is being an artist. It's actually maybe more work.
Yeah.
And like, and also I'm not too, like, self-involved, and that's what you kind of have to be.
Yeah.
Like, worrying over yourself a million times in the day, it's kind of like, not, it makes me nauseous.
It sucks.
So, yo, I'm like, and my manager's like, did you do this thing for, it's like, and I was like, oh yeah, it's for me. You know what I mean? It just really, it's kind of, I'm kind of getting to know myself in a different way, but I like it because I'm able to take charge of my scenario. Like, I'm DJing now, and like, I can play all the songs that I've, you know, sang over the years and curate sets and be able to, like, deliver music and an experience to people. But the whole, like, just, I don't know. It's intense. It's intense being, it's like a constant spotlight right here, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's like, people just, there's just so much more pressure on it, right? I don't know. Is there more pressure? I don't know. I've not been in your situation. So
I right now it's still fun because, you know, everything is kind of new, like me seeing my name on, like, festival lineups and, you know, different clubs as just Kalina Zanders has been really nice.
Yeah.
So I don't feel that pressure yet. The only thing I feel is that I just really need to, the pressure I feel is to constantly push out music that is aligned with what I want. And sometimes, and now working with the label, you have a bunch of different ideas and opinions. So I think that has been a little bit difficult being from, you know, I was very independent, and now I'm like, have a team, and it's like, then sometimes a team, we don't agree. And that has been it's been challenging, but
how does that work? Is there the buck stops with you, where you're like, no, this is happening whether you like it or not? Or is it like not that situation where, like, if they don't like something, you like it, but you're a stalemate?
Yeah, kind of. Or it's a constant, like, so if I like something, they don't like it, then I typically, it's just something that I have to can for a second. And then sometimes I'll bring it back up again, like, a few months later, because I was like, you know, I always give a reason why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah.
And I would try to relate it to business.
Yeah.
And I would try to relate it to something they can understand as to why, like, it would work in the space and what they're trying to push. You know what I mean? And I think also too, they had to stop looking at me as a feature artist, even though they signed me as just an artist, because it's just too easy, because that's just like what has been happening. And so I think that they didn't understand that I had a very clear idea about what I wanted to do, like, super clear, you know. And I think, like, they're just like, oh, I guess you can, I don't know what they're thinking. I'm assuming right now, I have no idea, but I just made it clear that I'm very much here to do my artist project in, you know, the way that I envision it.
Totally.
And it's working out. I think it's working out. And I think we are finding a, like, nice, like, collaborative effort rather than, you know, it's just this weird disjointed
back
thing,
and forth. Yeah. Yeah. I guess there's teething problems always. Right. And I think it's also taking egos out, and it's a tough one with A&Rs. I've never really come, because I've never worked in the major. I have to a certain extent, but not really for Will Clark as a project as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the one thing that scares me. But for me, it's also like, it excites me at the same time, because I'm like, these people could come up with amazing ideas. However, I've heard so many horror stories of artists that are just like you said, just music gets canned. And I think music gets canned all the time by us anyway. So it's like, fine, we can can our own music. But I think there comes a point where it's like, you know what? This record could be a hit and you could be wrong.
Yeah. Yes.
Like,
yes.
There's a difference between, for me, and I'd like to get your take on it. There's a difference between the artist canning the record because they don't feel comfortable about releasing it because it doesn't necessarily suit who they are, or it doesn't look right for them, or sounds different to what they want to be playing for the next 10 years if it is a hit. And there's a difference, but there's the other side of it where an A&R cans it because they just don't like it. And I think there comes a point where I think artists really need to fight for it, because if they love a piece of music, like, it's not like we need to, it's not like nowadays where it costs extra money to release music. It's fucking free to release music unless there's a marketing budget or anything like that behind it. But like, in the grand scheme of things, these majors make so much money that us dance music people that are signed to majors make fuck all anyway for them. So it's like,
it's true.
But they do one Beyonce record and they've made more money than sense. So it's like, I think it's like, you know what, just take the pun and just, even if you're just like, even if the artist, even if you know as an A&R it's not going to do well, just let the artist put it out, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, no, for real. That's funny that you talk about that. My thing is, sometimes I feel, and I don't know if this is my perception, I don't know if this is accurate, but I feel like it's pretty accurate. A&Rs, there's a disconnect because, like, you're always playing, you're seeing the culture all the time, and you know what's working on the in your sets, you know what, you're watching other people's sets, and sometimes the A&Rs aren't doing that sort of field work. And so when there's a disagreement, which has happened, there's a disagreement about a track because, one, they don't like it, two, they don't know how it works. And like, that drives me crazy because I'm like, yo, I have the proof from what I've been seeing, and how are you validating? How are you saying that this doesn't work?
Yeah.
So that's the part that actually gets my goat. And then that's something that, where it becomes something where I have to negotiate or keep bringing something back up, because I'm like, yo, this is it. This is it. And this is it. And sometimes you just get so annoying that they're just like, fuck it. All right, let's put it out. You know what I mean? And, but a lot of artists don't have that though. I will say they don't have the tenacity, but the negotiation skills, or the belief actually, because you look at these labels who are, you know, you're in a partnership together. And I think that's what you have to remember. You're in a partnership, not like, it's not like label here, you're here. Not it's totally. Literally you're here trying to make the best scenario for both of you, And I think a lot of people get overwhelmed with, even though they know in their gut, they get overwhelmed with thinking like, oh, I have to fulfill the deal. I have to, you know, it's all this like pressure, but it's not, it's a partnership.
I agree with you. I think maybe this is my ego talking, and I'm happy for you to tell me differently, but I actually think the label needs us more than we need them. Because there's plenty of records that you've released yourself as feature artist or whatever, like, that have done very successful on an independent record label that doesn't need a major record label. There is a level of, yes, a major record label puts a bunch of money into us, which could help us, blah, 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 but it's just a bank loan, really.
Sure.
It's just a bank loan.
I think in your scenario, because you have so many successful records independently as you, like, I don't think you necessarily need a huge major label. You know what I mean? But I do like where I'm at with it, because it's forcing me to focus on me.
On you,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Like, I'm like,
but I honestly, this isn't me just blowing smoke up your ass. I don't think you need a major to have a successful career for you.
Thank you. I'm gonna say thank you.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying though, because I think sometimes the focus is real, like, and we need to focus on certain things, and sometimes it's very easy. Like, classic for me, it's like classic example. It's like, you are like, okay, I'm going to release 12 records this year. And then you get asked to do 5 remixes and they're all by people that you really want to remix. And you're like, oh, now I'm only releasing 6 records and 5 remixes. And you're like, fuck. And mm-hmm. it's like, where's the focus? And it's like, well, if there's something locked in, you can't go out. These deals don't let you go out. So it's like, so okay, true. Can't do it.
So it's been good. I mean, that because of that.
Yeah.
And as far as like, would I prefer to be independent later on? Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Like, because I understand exactly what you said. If you can tour, you know what I mean? If you're in the culture enough, people will support you. There's ways to do it. I think that, you know, could be just as elevating as having a record deal. But for now, this was the right decision.
Are you writing like strict just house music, or are you writing pop stuff, or like what's the kind of direction?
Well, right now I'm just focusing on writing dance music.
Yeah.
Just because I haven't focused on dance music for myself in a way. So yeah, I've been strictly only writing dance music.
Would you want to go back into pop at all?
It's a huge love of mine. I just think, okay, so pop is funny. We were having this discussion yesterday about pop, me and my friend. Like, pop is so many different things now.
Yeah.
You know, like do you listen to Lorem on Spotify at all?
No.
Okay, it's more of like the indie, like all the cool kids, but they're like big.
Okay.
You know what I mean? To me, that's like pop now too. So yeah. I don't know, like, I would go back to it, but probably not like what people think of pop, like the glam. I probably would do like more of the indie cool kid stuff. Mm. You know what I mean? Because I actually, before in the pandemic, I made a whole entire EP because I was going to pivot out of dance. Mm. I made an EP that was sort of like more emotional, sort of like organic rock based, a little rock, a little funk. Huh?
That sounds cool.
Yeah. Because that's more my vibe. But, you know, I don't know. Dance music is also just, it's so positive, and it's not like, I feel like the other route is very lonely. You know, here you get to, I get to be amongst friends I've already made.
Yeah.
And, you know, also capitalize on the fan base that I already have. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it just makes more sense. But yeah, my heart space is more of like, kind of like emo fuckboy shit.
I'd love to hear some of that. I'd love to hear some of that. I'll send it to you. Please do. It's really interesting because like we're in this dance music world, and it's very easy to just get stuck in that world, in a sense where you turn on the computer and you put a 4/4 beat down and you just, that's all you do. I guess it's the business side of it in my mind.
Yeah.
Is that it's like, well, I just need to write records for a club.
Yeah. That's it. Totally.
But I think it's actually really not. There comes a point for me, and this isn't for everybody, this is just for me, where it just becomes the same, and you have to do something different to get out all of that. And whether that's writing different music, I love writing different music at the moment. I love
doing, what are you writing?
Everything, really.
Yeah.
Like a lot of sad boy music. Like go in with sessions and make like proper ballads. I love ballads. And just like,
I have a couple ballads out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I also did a lot of like, I still do, but sync stuff.
Oh,
so
cool.
Like I have, I do sync and television stuff, or TV is amazing. I love that. So that's another way I can like operate in a different space, you know?
Yeah, and it's also, it never crosses over, right? So people don't really, can't put two and two together. Yeah. So you can be like fully removed from both, which is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. That's been good.
So when's the first record out?
Well, my first record of the year came out January 20th with Shift Key.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a dance song that is a little bit outside of the bubble. Like it's all the sounds sound familiar, but it still feels exciting,
mm-hmm.
and it still feels like I haven't heard this before, but I have.
You know, I was listening to it earlier. It's a great record. It's a really good record.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And that making those kinds of dance songs, that's what excites me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I know that there's a possibility to break the mold. You do it all the time. You break the mold a bit too. Like you blend like techno, but then it's soulful and then like deep. I don't know. Like to me, you have such a unique dance style that you are able to like break out of just that monotonous, stupid shit that everyone's playing. You know what I mean?
I think, thank you for that as well. Yeah. I think it's, for me, it's, I don't want to sound like anybody else. So I think for me, it's like, what do I have to do? And I'm even now at this moment, because I went through the techno stage and I still felt like I had a sound, but there was like certain records that I put out that were just like fit in the mold. But I call it business. Mm-hmm. I call it business techno. And it's like, I know this is going to do well. I know that I can write this in about half an hour. And if it does well, it's going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
But then like there's other records that I'm like, okay, this, I wish this did well because I love this record, but I know it's going to be a lot harder for it to do well because it's not what everyone else is doing, or it's not the sound of the playlist that we need to get on Spotify, or it's not the sound of what all the radio DJs are playing, blah, blah, blah. It's tough. Mm-hmm. It's a tough one. It's a really tough one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, from what I've seen and heard, you've done a great job of making something innovative in the spaces, in the dance space where things oftentimes are very much the same, you know? And like, I feel there's only a few people who can really do that, in my opinion, you know? Chris Lake, that in the Yuma song, like no one's doing that fucking piano slapping, like that's just so cool, you know? Like, and I do see that happening more in dance music where people are trying to push it outside a little bit.
Yeah.
And I hope to be a part of that too. Even though I feel like some of the, going back, you know, the business records, there are a few records that I will be putting out that sound a little like, okay, that's cool, but people are going to really like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think they will.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning with the business is like, that as long as you like the record, and as long as you can stand by the record and be like, this is what I actually really like as well, then it's fine.
Yes.
It's just when you go into the studio going, I need to write this because I need to get here. That doesn't work. Fair. Doesn't work.
Yeah, fair. For me. Fair. That's true.
So is the Shift Key record a collab between you and Shift Key, or is that a feature for you? Or is that the first record of the deal?
No, it's actually my second record of the deal.
Oh, cool.
But so originally he was just going to be a producer on it.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just going to be my record.
Yeah.
But I asked him, I was like, dude, do you want to be on this? I was like, you're amazing. You've been one of my favorite producers since I've gotten dance music. And like, would you want it? And he's like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
So, yeah, he's wicked. He's really, really talented as well.
He's so talented and really easy to work with, and just like has like a sensitivity about him that I think is really important to be a producer, basically, like that, you know? So yeah, that was my second release. And so far it's my favorite. The music to come is also going to be really great. And I kind of look forward to exploring, like you said, like you have your business records, which I think are coming, and that's partly because it's a label artist decision, you know? And then I hope that the next rollout, I already know what the music is. I already know what's happening, but I know it will be something slightly different because I want to move into more of an electronic band space.
Yeah.
Because I used to be in a rock band. So with my agents, I want to move into like, you know, I want to be at Cross Festival playing the main stage with the band. You know what I mean? Like that would be my vibe.
That sounds amazing. We've just done an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I know. Flew by. Let's wrap this up.
Can't
wait to hear the new music. Please tell people how to follow you, how to get involved with the project as well.
Yes, please follow me at Kalina Zanders on every single social media that ever existed. It's literally just my first and last name. Okay.
Easy.
So easy. Yeah, but I post a lot on Instagram. I think that's probably the most. And then I do some funny weird shit on TikTok. And yeah, that's where I'm at. And Spotify, please follow me there and listen to all my songs. They're all good. They're all fucking good.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. I've really enjoyed this. Yeah, let's catch up when I'm in LA next.
Absolutely. Thank you. Peace. I really appreciate you having me.
Thank you, mate. See you soon. And that's a wrap. Big love to everybody that listened. Hope you enjoyed it. Please share. Please subscribe. Give us a little review. And I love you lots. See you next time.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.